This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A lot has been said about millennials, but what's it like to raise one? This is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil, and in this second episode of our series on Gen Y, we speak to educationist and mum of three, Dr. Elizabeth Lee, and Elizabeth's former student, Mallory Loon of Thriving Talents, a talent development company focusing on consulting, training, and educational events production. So, Elizabeth, you're the senior executive director of Sanwu Education Group. And that's like having, you know, a huge gaggle of Gen Ys under your care. So what do you make of the Gen Ys? What are the characteristics of Gen Y?
I find them highly exciting. They're fast. They are creative. They seem to know what they want. They can be demanding, but at least they tell you what's on their mind. Of course, Gen X has become a lot more mature by now, but the great difference would be Gen Y is very go-getter. Mm. You know, they want to get out there. They want to do things.
A lot of people say that there's this flaw in the education system in the sense that there's a missing link between academic life and work life. What do you think as a person who's been in that industry, in that realm for so long?
Well, we've been talking with employers quite a fair bit to find out exactly what the problem is. A lot of them blame it on Gen Ys. They are different. As I said before, they're go-getters and they like a lot of direction to tell them exactly what is it that employers want, for example. On the other hand, employers expect the fresh graduates to come to them with all the necessary skills. We can do that. I mean, like in the case of Mallory, you know, she's an accountant. She has all the tools and background and knowledge of accounting to make her do an efficient job. However, sometimes employers expect a lot more. They expect the students to be able to manage a particular situation that crops up. Now, thinking on the feet is another skill altogether, which they may not have had time to learn at university.
When we do our research on our end as well, it shows that they are perhaps behaving this way because of what they have currently. They have good family upbringing. They have parents to provide. They did not have to go through post-war stress or anything of that sort. So this is the longest peace point they ever have. Mm-hmm. So when they are content with life, they tend to search more for, okay, what can I do? What lives can I change? What environment? So that's why a lot of social entrepreneurship and all that cropped up from this Gen Ys. However, with also because of technology and the fast pace of education nowadays, everything is very rushed for them. Not just for them, but from their parents as well. Because, okay, you come in university, you graduate, you're expected to get a job. Most of the students were so busy trying to chase the academic grade, like Dr. Elizabeth said, that they may not have time to harness necessity, street smart skills that what companies are looking for. But with that being said, there are students that take the extra initiative to go out of comfort zone, go out of the school, or go out to search for opportunities outside that can give them that added advantage as well. So if you're talking about generically, from our point of view, when we work with a lot of young people, they are quite a fair bit. They still do not have the time to sit down, breathe and say, okay, what do I want? They are so in a hurry to, okay, I got to get a job after this. Why? Because I'm already graduating. I need a job. So for them, it's get a job first and then worry about what skills they want to get later. But for the companies, is get the skills first and then think of what role to fit you in. So with that, that's why we see there's a slight gap between the studying years and starting to work.
Something interesting that you said before was that the Gen Ys, they like direction. They like being told what to expect from their employers. So there's also that need on the employer side to be able to communicate what their needs are in a way that the Gen Ys can get on board with.
Yeah, I think in a lot of companies nowadays, everyone's so busy and it's very difficult sometimes for even a superior to even tell someone who's just come in what they expect of the new employee. And they just throw them in the deep end and expect them to know what to do. But really, they don't, you know, they're still trying to find their feet. So that's why Gen Ys are always saying, you know, give me some direction, give me some directives. And then you have the employers who say, well, they should know what they're doing.
Don't expect us to spoon-feed you.
So, you know, but between the two, there must be a meeting point where both will feel comfortable.
To add on that point as well, it's very, very true whereby, yes, companies are very busy today. But many, many companies as well have taken a lot of initiative to engage in enhancing themselves because the companies want to know that, okay, I have a lot of millennials and Gen Ys coming in. How do I work with them to bring out the best of them? You can see it's moving towards a push-pull middle point instead of just, okay, this is what I expect and you listen to me. They are coming to the point of where can we go further to meet them in the middle or what can we do to bring them closer to where we want them to be. And for students as well, what we also see or we encourage the companies to do is when they come into the mock interviews or table talk sessions, right? Don't just say like, oh, our company provide A to Z, but come in and share with them like, when you join us, this is how it really is inside. This is your first day. These are some people you're going to meet. These are how real working life is going to be like in the company. So that's what we meant by understanding the real culture of a company. Because many times, I'm sure it's because everybody wants to attract the best talents for companies. So they tend to say what's beautiful about it. But I think in today's world, it's no longer what's more attractive. It's more, where can I fit in? Like what Dr. Lee mentioned, they're trying to find their feet. Where do I stand that I can jump the highest end of the day? They want to hear from companies is not just what perks and benefits that you're going to give me or what beautiful office you have, but is there someone there that can guide me or mentor me? Is there someone there that can develop myself? Is there someone there that can help me if I'm lost? Because you'll be surprised, the two biggest factors about why Gen Y leaves a company today is no longer because of money. It's because the lack of opportunity to grow and the lack of feedback from the employers is feedback, not scolding sessions, but feedback.
What Mallory said is very thought-provoking. And I agree totally with her, the need for employers to understand Gen Y more. In fact, there was once when I took a whole team of my senior managers to one such training session, and it was to learn more about the Gen Y. And while I was hoping that they could learn more and they could appreciate the Gen Ys, whether they are our students or our employees, it turned out that I felt that I learned the most. And I believe that I can appreciate them a lot more now for that reason.
Okay, so even for yourself, your understanding of the Gen Y has evolved. It has gone through different stages.
Definitely it has. There is definitely a generation gap. I mean, I always denied this, you know, when I was young. I said, my parents and I have a great generation gap, but I don't have a generation gap with the young ones because I'm constantly with them. I have taught them. But it's exactly like you said. They have evolved over the years very slowly, but surely, you know, and suddenly they're just a totally different bunch. And as I said earlier, they're so much faster. You know, when we were pitched against them in our little groups and we were asked to do certain experiments, oh my goodness, I have never felt so slow in my life, you know, and I woke up with a new respect for the Gen Ys. And so I go back and I said, do not underestimate them. They can think so much faster and give you a solution if you give them the chance.
The way you speak and or approach a Gen Y, is it different to how you would speak to someone, to other generations? Or is that something that you know, happens on a subconscious level, you don't really notice it?
Some of the language they use is very interesting. I don't understand them. Some of the acronyms that they use. And at one point I said, I need Urban Dictionary.
Yes. Sometimes and, I need it too. So it happens to all of us.
Exactly. What is it that they are talking about? I try sometimes to use some of the phrases that they use just to make... I don't know. I think that it makes them feel a little bit comfortable. I don't know whether it makes me look silly to them. I'm actually not sure. But most of the time, I would have thought that it's more unconscious or subconscious.
There's that, you know, that barrier between someone of my age and someone who is older, because you still think about the respect that you need to accord them.
Yeah.
Does it offend you if a Gen Y person is a bit more
hip and happening?
Yeah, and like, you know, talks to you in a way that she would talk to her friend rather than her auntie, for example.
No, I've got three kids who do exactly that. One of them just called me a monster this morning. And then she said, I meant mommy monster. Hee hee, bye bye.
Well, do all mothers and daughters share that kind of relationship, that ease?
When I first started talking to my mom in my lingo, I was really short form for SMS. Back then was SMS. My mom didn't get it. So we had a miscommunication because of a word I used, and it turned out to be, for her, it's an insult.
Oh.
So when I got into the car, she started yelling at me, and I was clueless, and I'm like, what are you angry about? And she's like, why are you so rude to me? And I'm like, I wasn't. And I explained to her it was a short form for SMS. And she's like, if you want to talk to someone older, have some respect and understand my language. So I learned something very important that day, though, is that generation gap, I think, overall exists throughout the years. Me and my grandmother, me and my mom, and the generation coming. Because when I have Gen Z staff now in the office, oh my goodness, I do not understand them at all sometimes. They have things like sleek eyebrows like Zayn Malik. And I'm, what is sleek eyebrows?
I don't know. Sleek right. Eyebrows.
That is Gen Z to a Gen Y. And that's already, you can see the choice of music, what we find useful today, like Facebook, they find outdated. They are all about Instagram and Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat, yeah.
Do you have Snapchat?
Well, I tried.
Good attempt.
Good effort for trying.
Good attempt.
Still trying, you know.
I got my mom Instagram just last month. She's the happiest mother on the planet. Now she's posting everything on it, from eraser to food to, you know, it's nice to see that this gap thing, we acknowledge that it exists, but we are doing our best, both as mother, daughter, or either employer, employee, to do something about sealing it or closing it a bit more.
All right, I'm with Dr. Elizabeth Lee and Mallory Loon. We'll talk about how to navigate family expectations when it comes to Gen Y and their career choices when we come back. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. You're still tuned in to Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil, and we're talking Gen Ys today as part of our month-long series on millennials. Dr. Elizabeth Lee, the Senior Executive Director of Sunway Education Group, joins me, along with Mallory Loon, who is a former Sunway student and co-founder of training and consulting company Thriving Talents. Elizabeth is not only an educationist, she's also a mum of three millennial daughters of her own. So Elizabeth, as a parent, are your expectations for your kids different? Like when you've got your educator hat on or your mum hat on, are the expectations the same?
That's a very good question. I would think that there is not much difference. I would advise other parents as I would advise myself. And the same with the students. I would advise them exactly the same thing. I don't think so. I hope I'm not in self-denial.
There are always these stages of awareness. You're not sure until you reach another level. You're like, oh, maybe in hindsight, I could have done that differently. But, you know, what are your ideal goals or ideal expectations? All parents must have them of their children. You know what you want your kids to be.
I've always told them, as I tell my own students, that they just must be the best in whatever they do. They don't need to be a brain surgeon. You know, they can be the best hairstylist if they really want to be, you know, an artist. Just be your best and be in top form, because that is when you are truly excelling in life.
Are there any professions that are a no-go for you?
Porn actress?
Okay, you're a good mom.
Awesome mommy. Yeah. Mommy of the year. I'm very curious because this is something that we see very often in our training as well, especially to the young people, is that I want to be this, but my mom says no, or it's not what she expected to be. For example, I study accountancy and I end up running a business in education training. Mm-hmm. So for my mom, the first beginning time when I told her that, you know what, this is not something I want to do, it was rather hard for her to accept it at first. I mean, eventually things worked out. But at the beginning, she was in a very stressful state, and every day when I come home, she'll still try to brainwash me and get me back to the right path. I mean, according to her. But this is a very, very common thing that young people are facing. How do you handle this?
Yeah, parents are about the most difficult people we have to handle. It's never really about handling the kids. The kids, or rather the students or the young people, are a lot more teachable. They listen more to you sometimes, I think, than parents do. And we generally will tell parents, please do not expect your children to live your dreams. While they have your genes, they are not you. You must allow them to find their own feet. Can you imagine? It takes so much money and effort to train a doctor. A lot more than fees can ever pay for. And there are so limited places. And when that doctor, after being trained, just hangs it all up and says, I want to go do something else. Such a wasted space, you know. So hence we tell parents, please don't do that, you know. But then again, a lot of young people don't know what they want. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of life. And that's when parents come in and guide them. Mm-hmm. Of course, some parents will over-guide. And I will not discount the fact that some parents really know their kids so well. Like my mother, really. I did not want to be a teacher because mom was a teacher. Oh, no, I don't want to do whatever mom did, you know. But that's what I ended up doing, and I love it. So mom does know best after all.
I think it works a bit two ways as well. Like, there are some kids is that mom was this, so I don't want to be like mom situation. Mm. And there's some of it that mom is like this and mom wants you to be like her because she turned out successful. But I think now that I understand my mom a lot more, so I get why she wants or she was very worried that I was. She's just worried about me end of the day, whether I'm going to turn out well or not. So what I worked out with my mom end of the day was a business plan. Give me 2 years. And I drew out a plan for her that, okay, I'm going to hit this goal in 2 years. If I don't hit in 2 years, fine, I'm going to work wherever you want me to work. So in that 2 years, can I have your promise not to nag at me so much? I know you will nag, so I can't deny the fact that you will nag. I just ask you to reduce it a little bit and just be a bit more understanding for 2 years. And after that, if it doesn't work out, fine, nag at me all you want.
Was your mom an accountant or is she an accountant?
Yes, currently still is an accountant. So I'm the example of mom is an accountant, mom sent me to ACCA, mom wants me to be an accountant and I end up not being accountant at all.
So how did you feel about that? I mean, you know, were you happy to take advice from your mom? Were you happy to get that guidance from her?
I think for the beginning, yes, because I didn't know and I understood the family constraints, like financially. So when she suggested, okay, go do this, all I could think of is, all right, I'll do this and then I'll think about what I want to do later. But I'm very grateful that along the way, I have a lot of great support and Sunway particularly has, because I'm an alumni there, so have provided a lot of opportunities for us to find a bit more where we are interested in, a bit more about what we like to do.
In what sense? I mean, which parts of your time in university you found helpful in developing what identity you wanted after life? After graduation.
Okay, I think for my first 2 years, like every other university student, I wanted, oh my gosh, freedom. I just started out, going out, meeting new people. And then when I hit my... I did CAT, so when I started ACCA properly, I realized there was a huge jump, just for me particularly. The maturity level jumped when I was 20 compared to when I was 18 years old. Then I started seeing things a bit more seriously, like, okay, you cannot flunk papers anymore, you cannot have bad grades anymore, this is what's going to count to your first class or second class upper. But I think what I had that really gave me the support through all my lectures. My lecturers till today are one of my greatest friends because despite being a teacher that teach you academically, they became our sounding board as well. Like when I'm not performing and my lecturer feel that I can perform much more better, she'll pull me aside and say, is there something troubling you? Is there something that you think you can be better at? Or why are you being at this level when you can be at the next? So they don't scold me. They just ask me questions that make me think. And then when I go back and I reflect myself and I'll be like, yeah, actually, you know, what's stopping me from trying a bit more? So that has become the starting point of me journeying into trying different competitions like Deloitte Tax and all of that. It's a very common competition. Every year they host it. So it's nothing extremely hard to get into. Then I started challenging myself. Okay, there's something called the Procter & Gamble Business Challenge, which is still around today. And I highly encourage a lot of young people to try it because it pushes you out of your comfort zone. I was an accountant running like the apprentice. You have to learn marketing. You have to learn sales. You have to learn customer evaluation. Things that I never learned in my textbooks. But because it was in Sunway's notice board, then I saw it. And I would just take the initiative. So instead of spending 1.5 hour lunch break just eat for like 20 minutes and go and spend the next hour paying attention and learning something new. So those are little things that really shaped where I thought I can be. So my journey of self-discovery started at around 20 years old till the day I graduated. So after the day I graduated, I still go back to my lecturers and say, do you think I can do this? What do you think? And they will give me the same advice and ask me the same thought-provoking questions that make me ask or challenge myself further.
Mallory came into my focus when she actually wrote to me and asked me for an opportunity to interview Nick Vujicic, because we had brought Nick Vujicic into Sunway to motivate the students. And the way Mallory actually approached the whole thing to get to meet this person really impressed me. And it just goes to show that she was one of the students who was really quite tuned to what was happening on campus, because there is so much that we do offer to our students to give them that extra bit. Free talks, like she said, free intellectual discourses, a lot of brown bag sessions. And Mallory is one of those students who grabbed that opportunity. And I really hope that, you know, more young people will actually do that in their own universities, because there is a lot more going on beyond the classroom.
Do you actively think about the kind of extra bits that you can put in to allow that opportunity for students? I mean, where do you get ideas? What do you think students would find useful? Things that are, as you said, happening beyond the classroom.
Yeah, we constantly are in conversation with employers and, of course, with the students themselves. What is it that they need? Like recently, we just hosted the Center for Asia Leadership, which is an endeavor that came out from Harvard. And it offers the students the opportunity to meet fellows from Harvard and to actually be exposed to what great universities in America are thinking about. Mm. And specifically on the area of leadership, which I feel that our young people need to learn a little bit more about, because leadership comes with a lot of responsibility. And one of the things that we find young people need to, it's very strange, you know, to learn, is actually responsibility.
That's very true.
That's why we approach it from the angle of leadership. Everyone wants to lead. Everyone wants to be a leader. They want to be the boss, you know. But the thing is, it comes with a lot of responsibility. Mm. And so it is through that we hope that they will be able to learn that. You know, you just don't drop something. You just don't give up. You know, you have to persevere. You have to pursue your dreams, as everyone calls it, and makes it a reality.
Actually, I think even the students know that some of the key traits when you go out to work is having responsibility. Because when we did a session just last week with Sunway students, we asked that, what are the values that you think a company looks for when you start? There are about 50 of them in the classroom. So I just asked them a question and asked them to write down and stick on the board. And when we gathered the data, we found that most students are aware that number one, hardworking is a key criteria. Number two, responsibility and accountability. Number three, resilience. Number four, continuous learning. The top four of it, continuous learning. So they are aware of it in their head. Now, in action-wise, of course, and actually going through it is another story altogether. But I think in terms of responsibility, they probably, because of comfort in their life so far, like mommy, daddy provides food, provides house, they pay for my rental, they give me allowance to go out. So there's no actual physical responsibility until they start hitting a point where, okay, now that you start working, pay your bills. Start with your petrol and your toll and your maybe your phone bill. And then they start thinking. I know I started thinking like, okay, am I spending too much on my phone? Should I cut down or get a cheaper plan? So those are the times when I realized, okay, you know what? This is called responsibility. My mom and dad taught me responsibility rather young as well, because they stopped giving me allowance to go out when I turned 18. So I started working part-time in Sunway as well as an invigilator for exams, I mark exam papers for internal exams and mentoring. So, because I have no time to go off campus, so those are in-campus work that you can do as students to earn some pocket money to give you some allowance. So that's where I learned, okay, if I want to buy clothes, a pair of shirt or a pair of jeans costs me 60 ringgit, how many hours I have to clock in to get that 60 ringgit to buy? So when you start learning that early, the responsibility part start kicking in. So I think my mom and dad really taught me well, and they really gave me the reality of things that you go out, financial crisis can hit, this is what happens. Or instead of giving the rosy thing that everything is good in our house, she would tell me straight that, okay, you know what, we are having some financial difficulty because of these tough times. So you need to bear in mind that you have two younger sisters that you may need to help bear the cost. From a very young age, 18 years old, they were talking to me about things like that. So from that, I was very aware that, okay, these are things that I need to do as an elder sister of the family. I think parents today as well, I mean, I'm sure Dr. Lee does it, actually play a very, very strong role in molding the graduates before they go out to work.
We try. Two other things that I would like to see us doing a lot more is actually mindfulness and ethics. These are two bits that I think are the new things that young people need to learn and how we're going to inculcate that.
In terms of, I think, ethics and mindfulness, two of the strongest points, actually, because in today's world, there's a very grey line. It's not as easy as black and white anymore. There are a lot of things like bending the rules become a popular thing. I'm not breaking it, I'm bending the rules. And some mistake it as creativity or innovation.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It has to be a very clear line between what is innovation or creativity and what is breaking or bending the rules entirely. So when anyone, especially the graduates, when they go out, there's a lot of things they need to think about today that maybe wasn't around 5-10 years ago. But in today's world, things like integrity, things like knowing where you stand between you and another person, even in sales, even in business, even in working. So every time, just ask themselves. I would recommend everyone to know what their values is. First, number two, ask yourself, can you live with that? Will it hurt you? Will it hurt your family and your loved ones before you jump onto a decision? Don't let hunger or for money and power decide that.
That's some sage advice from Dr. Elizabeth Lee, the Senior Executive Director of Sunway Education Group, and Mallory Loon, a fellow Gen Yer who co-founded Thriving Talents, a training and consulting company that focuses on bridging that generational gap. Tune in next week at the same time to hear more about Gen Y from the perspective of an employer, namely Matthew Ismitz, the CEO of Kenanga Investors Berhad. Thanks for listening. This has been Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.